We are looking at our overall study is who is God the Father, and we've looked at a number of aspects, and right now we're looking at the names of God. Remember, simplistically, we said that the names of God are additional revelation that God has given us to help us understand Him. Okay? There is no one name that can really communicate to us all that God is or all that He does. We looked at, we started with the name El, which is the basic name or term. Elohim is the plural form of that. We covered some of this last week. I'll be honest with you, I didn't mark my notes like I should have. I don't know exactly where we stopped, so I'm going to breeze through this quickly and see. But Elohim occurs over 2,500 times in the Old Testament. It is used of the true God and of other gods. Okay, we first find this in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created. God created the heavens and the earth. All right, this term is used more frequently in Genesis than in other places. It's used 219 times in it's used more frequently in Genesis than the term Lord or Jehovah. It's used 165 times in Genesis. All right, this is a plural form that is peculiar to the Old Testament and is said not to appear in any other Semitic language, according to Ryrie. All right? Remember, we've talked about this a little bit when we talked about the Trinity. But we said that, that the name is a plural form that you imposes the singular on the parts of the sentence grammatically linked to it. That sounds a lot like school, doesn't it? Okay. But what it means is it is a plural noun that takes a singular verb. It is a plural noun that takes a singular pronoun. It's, and God said, and He said, not and they said. Okay? Why? Because there's an understanding on the part, well, God did it originally when He inspired it, and there was an understanding on the part of the translators when they put it in our language, that Elohim is an indication of the Trinity. All right? We'll give you some examples there. But those who believe in the Trinity see it as a numerical plural of three. Okay, indicating the plurality of persons in the Trinity, right? This is not, while the name Elohim is not conclusive proof of the Trinity, it is reference to the Trinity, which fits with a significant amount of additional Bible evidence for the Trinity, okay? What I'm saying is if somebody wants to, you know, try to challenge you and say, prove the Trinity, and you say, well, in the beginning, God, that name's plural, that in and of itself doesn't prove your point. But it's a strong supporting factor when you add in the other strong proofs throughout the Old and New Testaments. Okay? We talked about some of this prior when we talked about the Trinity, so I'm trying not to run it into the ground. But I know some of you weren't here for all of that study, and I want to just review that. The name Elohim is used to show God as sovereign. Okay? It's used to show God as the creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created, right? You have it in Isaiah 45 in Jonah. But there's overlap, okay? But the name Elohim shows that God is sovereign, that He's God, that He's in charge, okay? Just because that term has been abused doesn't mean we should ignore it, right? Okay? Any more than people that are weirdos call themselves Christians, so we should not use that term, okay? And we could go on and on and on, but God is sovereign. It means He's in control of all. God is the creator, right? The name Elohim is also used in connection with God as the judge. Okay, we see that in Psalms several places. And again, these are just points of observation, you know, from analysis by different Bible students, okay? There may be other places where it speaks of God as a judge and it uses a different name. Okay, it's not exclusive, but it's just kind of observing, right? In the general patterns where it's used, it shows God as creator, God as sovereign, God as judge. And this was the name that's used in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and other places in Deuteronomy, but I'm going to read you Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 23. And it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire. You came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes, and said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. twice our God. You have the reference there. This was used specifically of the God of Israel. Why am I making that point? Because God Elohim was introduced as the creator in Genesis 1:1. It's not different from Jehovah, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, "Go bring out my people Israel." Right? It's the same God. They're interchangeable terms. Okay? So Elohim, El, are related terms, but Elohim is used about 2,500 times in the Old Testament, so it's a very common, very frequent name of God. All right, now we're going to move on to the name Jehovah or Yahweh. All right, you ever wondered why it's sometimes spelled one way and sometimes spelled the other? All right, we're going to explain that by the time we get done talking about this, but I'll give you the simple answer now. The simple answer is because we don't know exactly how it was pronounced. Okay? And depending on how you transliterate it, it's actually four consonants, Y, H, either W or V, depending on how you pronounce that letter, Y, H, V, H, okay? And so Yehovah, when you add some vowels to it to make it flow, is how it comes out. Or if you add different vowels, it's Yahweh, all right? We'll talk a little bit more about that down the line. But if you see these terms, if you're reading in a Bible book, you're reading in a study book or a commentary, if you see these two terms, these are two alternate spellings for the same term. Okay, it's not two different terms. Jehovah or Yahweh is, it's the same name. It's based off the same root word, right? This is the most frequently used name of God. It's used over 5,000 times in the Old Testament. I read in one instance where one of the writers said he thought it was used over 7,000 times. Okay, so that's at least 5,000. That was, what I could come up with without, spending an excessive amount of time on it. But it's used over 5,000 times in the Old Testament. Okay, the root idea. Remember, the root idea of the term El was what? Strength, power. And along with that, then, that God is superior, okay? But here, the root idea of the name Yahweh or Jehovah is the idea of existence, okay? We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But it is a rendering from the verb to be, right? I know this brings back, for some of you, it gives you hives to think back to when you had to, write out your verbs in school, right? You can tell that the Peanuts cartoon was written a long time ago, because one of the Peanuts cartoons this week, it was the little sister getting ready and, getting ready for school and aggravating Charlie Brown, And she's like, "Get up, make your lunch, put it in your lunchbox, conjugate your verbs." I mean, that was used in a comic strip. It's like, okay, that's got to be 50 years old. I mean, I don't know the last time I've seen conjugate your verbs used in, public discourse, much less in the funny papers, which are supposed to be simpler, But when you had to go back and conjugate your verbs, and you had to add all the endings and the tenses and all that kind of stuff, right? That there's different kinds of verbs, and then the being verbs, that's its own unique category, right? Well, the name Jehovah is from not only just a being verb, it is from the verb to be, right? That's why then we say the root idea of this name is existence, okay? Don't write me off yet. It'll get better. All right? This is the name that God took for himself when speaking to Moses at the burning bush. Okay? Remember, one of the excuses that Moses gave was, well, when I go back and tell them, they're not going to believe me. When I tell them the God of Israel sent me, and they'll say, "What's his name? What do I tell them?" And God told Moses, you tell them, first God just said, "I am that I am." Then he said, "You tell them, I am sent you." Okay? But if we were going to say that God has a proper name, and you say, "What's your name?" then this would be my answer. Okay? The name Jehovah, I would say, would be the proper name of God. Right? All of these are names of God or terms that describe God. If you're going to, that's my opinion. Okay? I think it's based on Bible usage and reasonably sound logic, but I'm not going to go to the mat over that, but I would, if you said, if is there a personal name for God, I would say it's the name Jehovah, okay, or I am that I am, all right? Now, does that mean that Exodus 3 is the first place that that name was used? Let me say yes. Let me say no. Yeah, you saw the note. How many of you are not even paying attention? All right. At least some of you are listening. All right. It was used prior to Exodus 3. In fact, on the notes that we breezed through quickly on Elohim, you know, I said that Elohim was used 200 times and Lord was used 150, 160, something like that in Genesis. Okay? It does show up. In fact, look at Genesis chapter 2 with me this morning. Genesis chapter 2, a very familiar verse. Okay, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. Okay, that's Elohim. In the beginning God created. And that's the term typically used throughout Genesis 1. Okay, chapter 2, verse 2, the seventh day God rested or God ended his work. All right, well then you drop down to verse number 4. These are the generations of heaven and earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God, right? That's one of the compound names here, but the Lord God, right? Look down at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Okay? You remember, anytime you see the name of God in all caps, 99% of the time, it is going to be Lord. You know, if it's Lord in all caps, it's the name Jehovah. Okay? If it's Lord, capital L, and then little O-R-D, it's usually Adonai. Okay? It's a different name. The translators did it that way to help us distinguish it, whether we can read Hebrew or not. I'm thankful for that. Okay? But if you see that all caps, that's the name Jehovah or Yahweh. There are a few instances in the Old Testament where you see Lord, L-O, capital L, little O-R-D, and then God is all caps. That's Adonai Jehovah. Okay? The majority of the time when there's a name of God in all caps, it's the name Jehovah. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I want you to remember, as we continue to talk about, well, what does the name Jehovah mean? Everything we're going to talk about this morning is referring to the God that formed us from dirt. And you know, he spoke into existence. God said, let there be light. There was light. Let there be this. Let there be that. And then Genesis 2:7 says God formed man. It's a different word, okay? The term for formed is a word that has more of an indication of, you know, personal involvement. It's the same term that's used in Jeremiah for when the potter formed a vessel on the wheel. God formed man himself in a more personal manner, if I could say it that way. So that's why I'm saying everything we talk about this morning about the Lord or Jehovah is the God who formed us from dirt. All right? So, you know, we have this, I already gave you Genesis 2, but this term Lord or Jehovah is found 206 times in Genesis, okay? Eve used this term in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, okay? She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord when her first son Cain was born. Noah, in Genesis chapter 9, said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. All right, Abraham used this term. Genesis 15 is one of the instances where we find the Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham said, Lord God. If you look at that in Genesis 15:2, that's an instance of Lord, lowercase, God, all caps. Okay, so that would be Adonai, Yahweh. All right, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Okay, in fact, look at Genesis 15 down at verse number 7. God used this name for himself already at least a couple of times in Genesis. Genesis 15, verse number 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. Okay? If we were fast forward over to Genesis chapter 28, it's God in this case speaking to Jacob. This is when he had the dream and he called the place Bethel, Beth-El, house of God. Remember that? All right. And verse 13, Genesis 28, 13, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. But in the point I'm making simply is this, that the name Jehovah, or I am that I am, was used before the burning bush. Okay? That's the point we're driving at. God himself used this term, and he said, I am the Lord, a couple of times. However, the fullest meaning of the name was revealed to Moses in Exodus 3 and verse number 14. You can look over there with me if you would, please. Exodus 3 and verse number 14. I've already summarized it. I'm going to begin reading again in verse 13. Exodus 3 and verse 13 says, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now what do you see unusual about that phrase, I am that I am? It's all caps. Okay? You think of that anywhere else in your Bible? Why do you think our translators rendered this in all caps? It's the name Jehovah. It's the name of God. Okay? It is a, it's a slightly, grammatically, it's a slightly different term than the form just to be, okay? But it's the name of God. I am that I am, okay? Literally, the name Jehovah, or I am, is He is, okay? God is. Remember Hebrews 11 and verse 6? I quoted it a lot because I think it's important. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I am that I am. God is. Okay? So the significance of this, the name Yahweh was used, but at least we're not given a lot of insight in it until we get to this point here. He said, "You, I am that I am. You tell him I am sent you." All right? The name Jehovah then emphasizes not just existence, but self-existence. Okay? All right, now, you got to think with me on this a little bit. How many kinds of existence are there? Okay. There's two basic categories. Either you exist because someone or something other than you brought you into existence, or you exist on your own. Okay? Now, how many of us, are in the exist on our own category? Okay, how many of us are here because God brought us into existence, right? Okay, someone or something. Okay, if we're talking about an inanimate object, we could say man brought it into existence. Man created something. Okay, it exists because man really took the pieces God had already made and rearranged them. But why would God give Moses this name? He's going back down to Egypt, and Egypt has all kinds of gods: the god of the sun, and the god of the river, and the god of the animals, and the god of the storms, and the god of the crops, and all this kind of stuff. Okay, why would this name distinguish the true God from all the gods of Egypt? Because there's only one, who can say, I exist because I am. Okay, all the other gods were made by the people. They made them and they turned around and worshiped them. Okay. There's only one God who says, I exist because I exist, because I am God. Okay? That would set the God of Israel apart from all the gods of Egypt, all the gods of all the nations that they would ever encounter. Okay? Israel was going to, when they were given a land, they were to drive out people that had all kinds of false gods. Okay? But in every case, those gods were made by the people that worshiped them. There's only one God that could say, I exist because I'm God. I am that I am. Okay? You want to just kind of wrap your mind into a pretzel a little bit? Just go home and try to see how much you can comprehend. God exists in eternity because he exists in eternity. Okay? Okay? Ooh, that's not all that easy. Okay? In fact, we're never going to wrap our mind completely around it. But that, in and of itself, distinguished the God of Israel from all other gods. You think maybe there was a little bit of wisdom in why God told Moses, all right, go tell him this name? Everything God does is wise. He is the personification of wisdom. He is the source of wisdom, okay? But when God speaks to Moses, you tell him I am that I am sent you, then we get a little more understanding of The significance of the name Jehovah or I Am, it emphasizes self-existence. I am that I am. I could also say it this way: I am the God who is. I am the God that exists because I exist because I'm God. Okay? There's no great way for us to say it, but the more we kind of bounce it around like this, the more it helps us to see a little bit of the greatness of our God. Okay? It implies not only self-existence, but superiority. I already said there's only two kinds of existence. And you either are self-existent or you were brought into being by another power or person or whatever. Okay? The fact that God is the only one that can say, I am that I am, proves, again, God's superiority. Okay? He's not only self-existent, he is superior not only to all other gods, but to all of us. You ever heard this phrase, that person has a God complex? I have. Okay? And the idea is they act like they're the creator. They're the almighty. You know, they're the omnipotent or omniscient. Okay? No. God is superior not only to other gods, he's superior to us. And we must never, ever forget that or lose its significance. But not only does the name Jehovah contain self-existence or the idea of superiority, it also contains the idea of strength or power. Again, okay? What kind of power does it take to exist because you exist? You exist on your own. It's God. Okay? Again, that helps us to understand that God has the power to exist because he said he would. And he's God. He's always existed from eternity. Okay, circuit's fried. Change the fuse. All right? But again, the name Jehovah implies self-existence, superiority, strength. I like this one. It implies security. Okay? I want you to turn with me to I couldn't get the rest of it on that screen, so I had to put it on the next screen. But I'm still talking about the idea of security. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, if you would, please. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Revelation. Okay? Revelation 1, verse number 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Drop down to verse 8. God speaking, I am Alpha and Omega. All right, what's the significance of that? That's not just random names, okay? Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega was the final letter of the Greek alphabet. If he were speaking to an English speaker, he would say, I am A and Z. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. That's what that Alpha and Omega means, okay? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. In case we were wondering, he explained it for us. Saith the Lord, here we have it again, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Okay? So how does that tie in with the idea of the name Jehovah bringing security, right? We have I am Alpha and Omega, which is to come. It says, I am the God which was. It means he's the God of the past. Remember when God showed up to Jacob when he's going away, running from Esau, running for his life? He said, I'm the God of Abraham, and I'm the God of Isaac. He's the God of the past. He's the same God from the past. You understand? When God shows up at the burning bush and he speaks to Moses, he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. We get all the way down to the conclusion of the book that God's going to give us for now, the Revelation. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the God which was, which is, which has come. But a God is the God of the past. In other words, the God we worship today is the same God of the past. Well, why would that bring us any comfort or security? Because we can look at how God dealt with people and how God was faithful, how he was merciful, how he was loving. And it's that, with the things we learn about God in the past, we can bring into the present. Okay? He's the God of the past, which was, okay, and which is. Okay? The same God that appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land I'm going to show you. The same God that appeared to Abraham and said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make an unconditional, unbreakable covenant with you that I'm going to do these things for your children. okay? The same God that appeared to Isaac and confirmed that covenant, that appeared to Jacob and said, I'm going to take care of you. The same God that appeared to Moses, the same God that brought them out, that gave them the land, that, you know, helped knock down the walls of Jericho, and on and on and on. The same God that punished Israel when they disobeyed and blessed them when they obeyed God. The same God that, when the fullness of time was come, sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The same God that appeared to Mary, Elizabeth, and said, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, and then sent his angel to appear to Mary and said, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the Messiah. The same God that brought, not only planned the creation, brought it all to pass, prevented all attempts to thwart it on the devil's part, brought it to pass, raised him from the dead the third day, took Christ back to heaven, seated him at the right hand of the Father. That's the same God today that was. Okay? That's the God, not only the God who was, he's the God who is. Okay? God is not dead. God is alive. Okay? So implied in this name, I am, is not just that, well, you know, God is superior and powerful, but there's an element of God. The God who was is the God who is. All right? Now, grammatically, that sounds awkward, but theologically, that's awesome. Okay? The God who was is still the God who is today. Okay? The same God that we can pray to today is the God that appeared to Moses and Abraham and all the rest of the characters from the Bible. Okay? So in that name, I am, or the idea of existence, is not only that God who was, but the God who is. And then as we see here, in Revelation 1:8, the God who is to come. He's the God of the past, he's the God of the present, and he's the God of the future. Okay? He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, which is and was and is to come. Okay? The same God that was, the same God who is the same God who will be there in our future. To God, it's not future, it's eternity. Okay? But as far as we're concerned, it's future. And the same God that we worship today is the same God that'll be there when it comes time for a judgment. How do I know when I'm on my, you know, when I'm facing the thoughts of, okay, my time might be near? Man, have I really wasted my life? Was it really smart for me to put my whole trust in this book, the Bible? You'd never do that. You don't know what kind of thoughts go through your head at that kind of time. Some of the strongest people I've ever known have admitted to thoughts like that at times. The devil loves to throw those thoughts in your mind. Okay, we got to come back to the promises of the Word of God. The Bible is still God's Word at that point, you understand. Okay, but when it comes to that point and we die, and then what's next? And when this world, God says, all right, that's it. I'm done with this thing. It's time to have a reckoning. I'm going to wrap it up, throw it away and burn it and make a new one. New heaven, new earth. Okay, the God in the future, the God that will be doing the judging and the rewarding and the fellowshipping with his children for eternity, it's the same God as the one who is today. Okay? So when we read it, as much as it maybe, you know, maybe it stretches us to think about it a little bit. God, the name who said, I am that I am, is the God who was, the God who is, and the God who will be. He's the God of the past, he's the God of the present, and he's the God of the future. What does that tell me? All right? The God who has always been, is now, and will always be, is the one who loved you, saved you, and keeps you. Yeah. Sunday school. That's a good place to say amen. All right? Okay? It's the same God. Okay? And I'm going to tie this in with it because, you know, along with this understanding, the name Jehovah is not just to existence, okay, but it is unchanging existence. Look with me at the book of Malachi. It's Malachi, not Malachi, all right? But if you can't find Malachi, go to Matthew and then turn left a page or two, all right? Last book of your Old Testament, okay, Malachi 3 and verse 6. This is one, to me, one of the most comforting verses in the Bible. It really is, okay? You should underline it, highlight it, put it on your list to memorize, put it on your refrigerator. Malachi 3:6 says this, for I am the Lord. What's that name? Jehovah, Yahweh. Okay, I am the Lord. I change not. Okay, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. If I change my mind, I'd have wiped you all out a long time ago. that's implied in that second statement there, okay? That part of it has been comforting to me at times too. Because if we're honest, there's always, for all of us, there have been times when we deserve for God to just take us like that little gnat that's on your picnic table and go, thump us right out of existence. Okay? But God said, I'm the Lord, I change not. That's why his mercies fail not. Okay? And his love fails not as great. God does, but implied in this idea that God, who was and who is and who is to come, is the idea that God does not change. The New Testament, we have the statement, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. It's not a coincidence, I don't think, that this term of I change not is used in Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, writing to the Jewish people who would have had all this other background, right? But in Hebrews 6, verses 17 and 18, we find this word, immutable. Okay? You probably didn't use that word in a sentence this week. Okay? Right? Not part of your regular conversation, but you have the word immutable and immutability. Okay? M is a negation, right? Like impossible means it's not possible. Okay? Immutable then means is a not, and then mutate means what? Change. Okay, so immutable means what? Unchanging. Hey, look at that. You defined the word yourself. Okay, you didn't even need to look it up in dictionary. Okay, but here in Hebrews, then we find God described as immutable or unchanging. Okay. That is a part of the character of God that we see in this name Jehovah, or I am that I am. Okay? That not only that God exists and that he is superior, but God is the same. Okay? God never changes. I am the Lord. I change. Okay? You know what that means? It means that no matter how our society tries to redefine it, the gospel didn't change. Okay, the plan of salvation didn't change. You know what? The reality that there is life after death and there's only two options, heaven or hell, has not changed, no matter how uncomfortable that is. Okay, the gospel has not changed, and we could make a whole lot of other applications right here, couldn't we? God's plan for the church hasn't changed. God's plan for holiness hasn't changed. God's design for your life doesn't change. Okay, but wrapped up in this name I am that I am is the understanding that God is. He exists on his own. He is God because he is God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That gives us, not only tells us that he is self-existent, superior, and he's strong, but that should give us a tremendous amount of security if we know him. If you know God, you can depend on him to keep his word. He's the same. All of that is in the character or the person or the nature of God given to us in this, what we might think is a not so fun word, a being verb, I am. But wrapped up in that is a tremendous amount of truth about our God. How should this make us respond? It should make us respond by saying, thank you, Lord. It should make us respond by wanting to fall on our face like Moses did and worship. It should make us respond with confidence that, okay, he is going to keep his promises. Okay? It should help us to say, all right, no matter what we hear on the news or in our society or all that kind of stuff, the gospel hasn't changed, and it should renew our commitment to preach the truth, to share the truth. I mean, what I'm saying is this isn't just a Sunday school lesson. If you just go out of here with facts, you can win a Bible trivia contest, you missed the point. The point is, we're learning about our God, and everything we learn about our God ought to make something happen right here. And if it doesn't, this is way too hard, or it's not born again, one of the two. Okay? But if it does, it ought to make us respond in worship and thanksgiving and in service. Right? Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we don't understand all of what it means that you're the I am, but we thank you. Lord, we're not worthy to have this privilege of prayer. We're not worthy of any of the least of your blessings, but we thank you for them. Thank you, Lord, for creating us. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to study and to be a part of a church, a group of people that loves you and loves your word and wants to serve you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be worthy servants. Lord, we want to say thank you. We want to thank you for who you are. And Lord, we want to live, as Ephesians said, we want to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, but we can't do that